Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the fifth day, 31st August 2022, Wednesday. So we have finished the first session, which is taking out the Bodhisattva vow. Then now we are supposed to have our morning chanting. So 8:30 to 9 o'clock. Morning chanting. Then after that, okay, since we and they are going back, maybe we will do a quick morning chanting. Then after that, we can have some Dhamma sharing. Okay. Page 4, is it? Chanting book. Okay. No, this one is precept. Page 5. Okay, page 5. Dedication of offering to the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the blessed one's disciple who had practiced well. To this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long last benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Bow. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the blessed one's disciple who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy in this world with its gods, demons, and kind spirits, its seekers and sages, celestial and human beings. He has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Bow. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inward to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves, I chant my praise of this teaching. I bow my head to this truth. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the blessed ones, disciples, who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have beautiful conduct. That is the four path, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones, disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to the Sangha. I bow my head to the Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear insight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha, I revealed the teaching of the Lord like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revered, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revered. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy. Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into the world, and this is the Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known, having heard the teaching. We know this: birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness and disease is suffering, and death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from loved one and our prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. They are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formation, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciple in this way. In addition, he further instructs, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formation are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, the body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formation are non-self, non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the conditioned and the unconditioned. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, are bound by Sorry, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bounded by suffering and obstructed by suffering, let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained Parinibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively, we follow the pathway of that Blessed One with all of his mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. Okay, we will chant the closing formation. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddha bhagavanta adivadini. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you okay, Mr. Tan? Okay, good. So maybe for those who are going back, we can have half an hour of meditation, which is we're almost reached 9:20 something, almost 9:30, just nice. So have half an hour awareness based meditation, and we were off the line. So remember the four support, relax. Body and mind, relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just be aware, silent. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. Then whatever arises, let it arise. Do not resist. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then the third one is maintain the awareness for as long as you can, stabilize it. Then use it to meditate, silent everything. Let it develop understanding. The silent mind will observe without thought. It is just awareness, nature inside. Then when it stabilizes, it becomes very different, very sensitive. It can understand anything. Then it can understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Finally, after you have stabilized the awareness nature, then only you need to go for the fourth support, which is trust. Okay? Okay, I let you meditate on your own.
Good morning, Brother. This is still in all calamities. I'm very thankful to be able to come to this retreat. Looking at the conditions now, you know, there are people who so sincerely wish to join this retreat in person, having the conditions to be here and then having to go back. When I see this and I realize it to myself, how much effort have I put in? You know, for these people, this retreat is like so, they look so much forward to it, like Sister Pocher. And as you can see, Sister Andy is so tearful to leave us, you know. That makes me more determined to put in more effort to continue with my cultivation. This morning when I got up, I was so tired, Virgil. I don't have enough sleep. So when when the alarm went off, I was so groggy, I was saying, how I wish I could have another few hours of sleep.
Okay.
But of course, dutifully, I got up.
Yeah.
So when just this morning when we, before the Bodhisattva vows, I was really going to knock out.
Oh,
the
okay.
Mind was so blurred. I kept telling myself, you must not go and lie down. If you lie down, you've got to conk out and you won't be able to take the Bodhisattva vows. So I just determined, I said, just stay with it, just stay with it.
Oh,
and
sadhu.
Somehow I overcome that very
sadhu, sadhu.
And I was able to take my Bodhisattva vows
sadhu.
With an awake mind.
Very good, very good. Sadhu. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like what Manjari went through, huh? Second night she also went through. That's why when you are sleepy or with any mental hindrance, most important thing is accept it, understand? Don't fight it, don't force it. Then silent, be with it. Then something will happen. The shift will happen. Suddenly, the virya will come because you don't create mental hindrance. So without mental hindrance, if you have developed the awareness-based meditation, you're silent. The sati will take over. Once sati take over, the spiritual faculty come back, you will become like awake again. Yeah. So this type of virya, together with sati, they are actually the spiritual faculty. That's why when you have sati, the spiritual faculty manifests. Yeah. Without sati, your mind is very down. Anything else you want to add? That's all. Thank you so much. Very good. Anybody else? Then have, okay, we get Manjari to help us to read page 139. 1.3, the heart and chitta. This one you must listen. This one also very important.
1.3, the heart and chitta. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Is it the same as chitta? Brother Teo answered, do not cling to the words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the words chitta, vinana, and mano, all three terms as synonymous with mind. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada, verse 1 and 2, as the mind that creates, that arises to create the citta and the vinana. The reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, whereas vinana is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness or receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then, when one acts in the content of consciousness, which is sankhara, it becomes citta or thought. Thought or citta is equivalent to content of consciousness plus vinana. Heart is seen in Mandarin or Mahayana term. The heart is the seat of consciousness and it is also the gateway to our nature. So if we live from the heart, it means live with pure awareness before the thought. But the moment we introduce the sankhara or content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do via the brain, then thought or citta will arise. So the user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, then the thoughts that arise become wrong thoughts. If the user is wise, then thoughts become right thoughts. For more details, please refer to the recorded talk.
Okay. I better explain this a bit. Otherwise, a lot of people may still not get it. So the Buddha used these three words. Mano, citta, and vinyana. You must know the difference between these few words. So the first one is mano. Mano. Second one is chitta. Then the third one is vinyana. What is mano? Mano is actually your mundane mind. Understand? That's why in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin words, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chi. And that one is the mundane mind. Mano. Mundane mind. So this one has Dhammapada, verse 1 and 2. Very often stated, mano something. Yeah. Then citta. Citta, you have heard of this word under cittanupassana. Understand? Citta nupassana, very often. Mindfulness of citta. So actually, citta is your thought. So citta is basically your thought. And what is thought? Thought is equals to vijnanam, the pure consciousness, plus its content. Content of consciousness. So when the pure receptacle, spacious awareness, you shrink into a small area to perceive something, that space is a pure awareness, anasama. Then you input the content of consciousness, which is your mental thinking, activity, everything, or mental state when you stir. Okay? So this content can be your planning, your scheming, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, or wrong view, or your selfishness, or your emotional negativity, or your fear, your phobia, whatever. Everything that your mind can do is the content. So within this, there is also feeling and perception. You also feel, you also perceive. The seven universal include feeling and perception and contact. Then, of course, ekagata. Ekagata is like focusing, attention, focusing. Yeah. Then you also have your cetana, mental intention, and all those things. So all this, you input into the space. That's how you perceive it. Then your mind have the views, opinion, conditioning, and memory. You creating the sankara sanya. Sankara sanya. Sanya means perceive. Then think. Think then perceive. Think. That's why sankara sanya, these two words, they keep on operating inside your mind. So sankara sanya is what the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind always do. They think, they perceive. They think, they perceive. They perceive, they think. Whereas this vijnana is just the pure receptacle. The pure conscious space before you input the content of consciousness. And normally that one can be just pure consciousness or pure perception before the arising of the aggregate of mind. That's why under the five aggregates of form and mind, five aggregates of form and mind, you have rupa, then vedana, sanya, sankara, and the last one is the above, vijnana. So this rupa, as you know, first aspect is our physical form. Physical form means your human body, your human being, or external form. Second aspect, where the form enters the mind through the aggregates of perception, you perceive it. Vedana is feeling. Every moment of sense exterior upon contact, feeling is definitely there. Understand? Then perception is the one that brings the external form into the mind. So this is feeling. So perception brings the external form into mind. Then this one, sankara, is mental formation or activity. Or everything your mind can do. So this vijnana is actually the receptacle that hold all these things. So this is a receptacle. Correct or not the spelling? Correct, huh? Receptacle? Correct, okay. So now you understand why in certain area the Buddha used this word vijnana. Because these are the aggregates of mind. What your mind can do, your mind can feel. Clear that. Your mind can perceive. That's how you come to know thing, and that thing that you know enters the mind. The external thing that you know, external form, it can be through seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. Then Sankhara is mental formation or mental activity. Means all of your movement inside there. Your thinking, your planning, your scheming, your mental states, emotional negativity, your fear, your whatever, even cunningness, everything included. Planning, scheming, daydreaming. Whatever your mind can do is Sankhara. That's why the Buddha always used Sabbe Sankhara Anicca. He never tried to use all these words, Sabbe Vedana Sanya Sankhara. No. One word, Sankhara, includes Vedana and Sanya, which is everything your mind can do is Sankhara. So this is the content of consciousness. Understand that? That's why the content goes into the pure awareness. The pure awareness is when the Buddha said, in the seeing, like the physics experiment, is nature's law. That consciousness just surface, like the light bulb, just like that. That's why that is the seeing consciousness. No one to see. Nasana. Hearing is the same. That consciousness of hearing arise. No one to hear. It's just like the light bulb, like that. But because our brain, our memory, our conditioning, our views, our opinion, our belief system, our habitual tendency, they are all in the brain here. That's why the moment you see, the content goes in, understand? Then it becomes a thought. Because that space that has the content suddenly to become a thought, understand? That's why arise, disappear. Then another perception, Sankhara Sanya. Perceive, think, understand? Or perceive, react, understand? So this is Sankhara, your thinking, your reaction to sense experience, your emotion. Just like they call it mental states. Etc. Yeah, I think so. That's why I feel funny.
CLE.
C, yeah?
CLE.
Yeah. CTLE.
No,
CLE. CLE. Oh, okay. Yeah, so here also same. So now is it clear? Huh? This tree. Miyana. Chitta, mano. So chitta is always the thought. That's why when your chitta has greed, you must be aware. When your chitta is spacious, tranquil, you must be aware. Mindfulness of chitta. So all the manifestation of chitta with its content, you must be aware. Aware means what? That's why in the four foundation of mindfulness. After kaya nupassana, to develop your mindfulness through anchoring your awareness to your kaya. Where our kaya is always in the present moment. No matter how you move, how you develop the action and movement, it is always in the moment. You understand? So when your awareness and the action is one, you are always in the moment. Okay, that's why you are mindful, you are aware, no thought. So this is how the Buddha wants you to develop. Train your kaya nupassana until very stable. Then of course the five category of practice. You start with anapanasati, then mindfulness of the four posture, which is the main kaya movement, anasana. Then the connecting movement between the four posture, that's why sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension, which leads to daily mindfulness. Then after that, only use that tranquil mind in awareness with creativity to contemplate the four elements, the 32 parts, the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. Then after that, after overcoming covetousness and greed, then only you go and do mindfulness of feeling. Mindfulness of feeling is relatively easier than mindfulness of citta. Why? Because feeling only got three types: pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Understand? Then most of the time is positive, negative, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. So this one is to train you to understand that your feeling has been conditioned into mental hindrance, which is sensual desire and ill will. That's why pleasant, unpleasant, like and dislike. This is how you stir your mind. Stirring of the mind. Where the error is. That's not error, right? The reaction. Here. Understand? When your mind stir and react, so here you can add it. Reaction and stirring. So Sankara is the one that actually do all the movement. So the reaction, the stirring, create defilements. Understand? Even your fear, your insecurity, your anger, your emotion, your phobia, all those mind states, they are part of Sankara. But they are not called Vedana Nupassana. Why? Because Vedana is only limited to like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. But when you have fear, insecurity, other type of emotion, sometimes it can be the mind that is trained, is in stillness, tranquility, peacefulness, spacious awareness. So all those are under citta, citta nupassana. So citta nupassana is the third category. That's why when you are able to be mindful of Vedana, then you can move to citta, the content of consciousness. Means you can see the content of consciousness. That's why you must be mindful of the content, your subtle craving, your subtle desire, your whatever movement inside your mundane mind. So the thought with the content you input, it has all your mental intention, your mental states. Whatever activity you do is all there. That's why the content of consciousness is what you must see in the meditation. You must have awareness to see all this. When your awareness is stable, it's possible. The Paticchasamuppada become very clear. You can be at the moment of contact. The mind hasn't stirred yet, hasn't moved yet. But this one needs mindfulness, awareness, sati. And you also need some form of initial wisdom to see. Otherwise, you will stir it away. Feeling, condition, craving. Craving, condition, grasping. Then you become more aggressive, becoming damper. All this move very fast if you are not careful. We are through habitual tendency. Habitual means very mechanical. You keep on doing it, repeat it, it becomes your habits. Okay? So these three, by now, if you understand, then you understand the teaching very easily. Okay? Any question? Don't have, huh? Okay, you read on.
26 Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1, understanding thoughts, knowledge, and wisdom. Clinging to all teachings or Dharma via knowledge or memories is of not much use, and one must instead awaken to the truth of Dharma, especially the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering states, and non-self, or empty nature of all phenomena, to arise the wisdom born of direct seeing, because only wisdom or understanding can free the mind. The mind, once awakened, is no longer deluded, and the understanding is always there, because understanding, or yoniso manasikara, Wise attention at the moment of sense experience is not knowledge. The Dharma is like a raft acting as a means to take one across the ocean of suffering, and once awakened, one must not carry the raft around. Also, one must not mistake the finger pointing at the moon, which is analogous with the Dharma pointing towards the truth as the moon. The emphasis of our present civilization is mainly on IT, science, and technological advancement, hence the overuse of the human thought processes. While this type of very competitive knowledge-based education system, the spiritual cultivation via sati or awareness and the creative mind has been neglected for too long. You cannot use thought and knowledge to liberate the mind from delusion and ignorance, because thought is limited and egoic. Only through the cultivation of wisdom via mindfulness or awareness to understand who you are and what you are, can we understand what anatta is. You cannot rely on thought anymore. You should inquire via your heedfulness. Is the human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? In the olden days, when we did not use the thought process so rampantly, we tend to be more intuitive and creative because we use more of our senses and inner nature to feel and be aware instead of constantly preoccupied with our thought processes and its related reactions to what we see, hear, and think, etc., via our heedless living. But then civilization has evolved over the last few centuries, and the emphasis nowadays is more on science and technology and IT type of education, which is mainly knowledge and thought-based. So we tend to use the thought process more and more to acquire scientific, technological, and IT knowledge, and in the process, we overlook our natural and true mind of stillness and peace, which is without thought, more creative than that has a lot of clarity within. The moment those who are not yet enlightened use thought from their forehead where their brain is situated, it will cause their mind to stir, hence disrupting its natural state of pure calm and inner awareness and stillness. We therefore need to develop the wisdom to balance our life so that we are not deluded and drawn by the overemphasizing on the heedless thinking process to disrupt our spiritual life of awareness, mindfulness, living. Instead of being 90+% of the time using the thinking process from our forehead, we should reverse it to only use it where necessary to live life without a silent and clear mind.
To live life with a silent and clear mind with inner awareness from the heart most of the time.
Only then do we know how to live via our essence of mind or the true mind after realizing the anatta nature of these five aggregates of form and mind of ours. To develop this understanding of wisdom, we need to develop sati or mindfulness, awareness to reconnect back to our essence of mind. So stay at the heart and be aware from there to live life, have love and be loved. Understand that thoughts are responses to memories. So if we maintain our attention at our forehead, then thought will constantly arise, and because of our delusion, thought will create a center which is the I and the me, or self-delusion, sakkaya ditti, thereby conditioning us to act and react heedlessly. As wrong thought is always limited and egoic, it will condition our fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, and emotional negativity. Knowledge binds. Hence the reason why all knowing which is thought-based knowledge is not wisdom, and it will become an obstruction to spiritual cultivation. This is reason why the Pure Land teaching of the Infinite Life Sutra or Wu Liang So Jing, most profound course are So Jing Zhang,
So Zhi Zhang,
So Zhi Zhang, and Fan Lao Zhang, i.e. all knowing via memories, knowledge are obstructions, and all fear, worries, and anxieties are obstructions too. We are so used to thought-based living. Hot days living is very egoic, hence a lot of selfishness and possessiveness. It is motivated by what your thought tells you. Our thoughts are conditioned thinking, conditioned by our wrong views and opinions, caused by our psychiatry or self-delusion. These conditioned thinking are mainly our habitual tendencies that will cause us to deliberately react, hold, cling, and grasp onto a lot of things which we think we can own and possess or desire and reject. Before thought, it is just spacious awareness or the entire oneness. Then the moment we focus or concentrate, thought is being created via the input of the content of consciousness, which are our perception, feeling, emotions, thinking, and other activities of mind, etc. within that space. Hence, thought becomes limited because it shrinks the whole of the spacious awareness into the narrow field of focusing. No focusing implies no thought, and without thought, there is no center of the I and the me. Hence, no one to fear, worry, become anxious, selfish, and emotional, etc. Which implies peace, pure awareness, tranquility, and stillness.
Okay, so now you understand, eh? When you focus, when you concentrate, you create your own problem. Understand not? Because the moment you do it, the thought arises, the content go in, the egoic mind arises, because you are not enlightened, you lack wisdom. That's why the enlightened one, they don't focus. You know what they do? Specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness and the phenomenal move as one, like kaya anupasana. Mindfulness of movement activity. They don't focus, understand? That's why Alicia can see you all do exercise with a spacious awareness. He don't even look one by one like that. He's just silent. All your movement goes in. That is the awareness, is aware of all this activity. And no word, nothing. That's why you look at nature, all the flow, all the movement, the awareness is aware. That's it. No focusing. There's no thought, hardly any thought. But you want to know, you can know. Understand? You want to reflect on it, contemplate, you can. That's why you say amazing. First time you see it. With awareness, all this become possible. So hope by now you understand. But this paragraph explains it very clearly. Before thought, it is just spacious awareness. You can understand. Yeah? What? Yeah, that is your true mind. Your true mind is awareness. So spacious awareness, all the oneness nature, the entire oneness. Then the moment we focus or concentrate on something, what happens? You shrink the awareness. So thought is being created via the input of content of consciousness. And what are they? They are your perception, your feeling, your emotion, your thinking, and other activity, etc., or mind states, like I explained just now on the whiteboard. Within that space, hence, thought becomes limited because it shrinks the whole spacious awareness into a narrow field of focusing. So no focusing implies, that is the key, understand or not? And without thought, there is no center of the I and the me. Why? Because there is no egoic, sakayaditi. The thought is egoic, limited. So if you don't create thought, there is no I and the me. Hence, no one to fear, worry, become anxious, selfish, or emotional. That's why the evil root cannot arise, which implies true peace, pure awareness, tranquility, and stillness. That is your true mind. The awareness nature is without delusion. And this awareness nature without delusion is the essence of mind, your true mind, to prepare for the coming. Oh, this one, Manyan, you just read. Huh?
Radio, can I check with you something?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because you're talking about wondrous nature here, right? So nowadays, when I go to the office only like twice a week, and the rest I work from home. So because of that, like on Friday, I go, there's a a lot of less colleagues around.
Mm.
So the office is quite quiet.
Mm.
So during lunchtime, I will go to the cafe and I enjoy myself. So
yeah.
I noticed after I eat, I felt, you know, joy and I have this kind of like gratitude and happiness in me.
Oh, sadhu, very good.
Yeah, then I suddenly just look up and I look at the cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at the whole cafe. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I look out of the window and I look at the trees.
Yes.
It looks so beautiful.
Because without thought only you can do that. Not much thought only you can do that. When you have problem, fear, worry, anxiety, and heedlessly thinking, worrying, planning, you cannot do that yourself. You must be in a state of peace, happy, like what you experience. The less people, less thing to distract you, less thing to actually haunt you or cause problem to you. That's why you can happily go down, have a good meal, then sit down there with a creative mind, aware. Then you start to see, observe, and appreciate with joy things that you never enjoyed before. Understand? Most people go down, hurry, like out, quickly get the food, eat. Then as they eat, also they think, oh, my boss tell me this one must haven't finished, that one haven't finished, I must plan this, I must. Then you are not living life, understand? You are worried about life, planning, doing this, doing that. Your unfinished business is so many, so much to deal with. You've got time for yourself, understand? To be aware, to be at peace, to experience the moment, to live life. That is the big difference. So sadhu to you, you can have that mind state. So you should continue to test yourself whether this mind state can be very stable and it can last. Means you have the stability on it. Otherwise, when condition is around, when you are scolded by your boss or your colleague might harass you, then all that so-called creative mind, peaceful mind, fly out of the window. It's like Alexander Pope. You know what he said? Reality begins after the first day of marriage. Then the other thing is, he said, after marriage, love fly out of the window. You don't have a, before that, I love you, you love me. So, but after marriage, you take for granted, so what happened? The love is no more. So fly out of the window. It's just like when you have a situation, you're this so-called mind state that you're trained, if you're not stabilized, if your wisdom is not enough, then it can come and haunt you again, understand? It's just like you are not being tested. Yeah. But you have improved. Definitely you have improved. You see things now so different. So for last time, you were negative one. You remember that?
I compare, you know, what I just described. And before I realized that, like Brother Teo said, I look at the work, look at the computer. Or during meeting, only listen to the one speaking. And then thinking of what I should speak.
Prepare your speech.
Either him or me.
Or
how I should react. Like, very anxious gangster,
Gangster is more than one. You're very negative one. You slight thing, why my colleague like that one? Why my boss like that one? Then you always report to me, then your relative also say, but dude, why he like that? How to deal with people like that? I remember in the early day, you most of the time bosong. So the like and dislike, but now different. You have appreciative mind, you have contentment, you have joy, you know how to really have that creative mind to observe things, see things. Although it's not the true oneness like what Alicia they experienced. But that one, your awareness need to be stabilized. But your Dhamma is there. The initial wisdom is there. So you can understand what is heedful living, what is heedless living. So now your mind is more relaxed, more creative, understand? Less cluttered. So that's why all this virtue, goodness can arise in you. This is what awareness-based meditation and the understanding of the true Dhamma transform. you or the individual. So sadhu, very good.
Yeah, it's true, but when you say just now that you were saying I'm negative, talk about this person, why am I already like that?
Yeah.
At the point when Brother Dio said, I was thank God. God also, God also.
Not only God also, that time I can see you're so negative. You always, finally, after I say, but you but the all like that, you know.
They are still like that, but then if I'm patient, then it's don't react first.
Yeah, now you can accept them for what they are, like you deal with your colleague, and then finally they come back to you with the understanding. You didn't harass them anymore. You didn't create negativity towards them. Otherwise, they can feel you one, they won't come back to you one. Understand? Yeah, you listen to them, like you say your colleague that you have to do the evaluation, the half yearly or yearly one, you remember?
Oh yeah, that one.
You have to give him a very bad one because of what she did. But you talk to her, you explain to her, understand? Then after that, she become different, she come back and thank you. You remember? Then you were so happy. Oh, but till now resolved. So that was the period she starts to have joy, because the Dhamma really stand up to what the Dhamma is. Let her understand life better, resolve issue amicably, and able to accept many things. No more like last time, react, fear, worry, gan chong. No more. That's how the true Dhamma can transform the living being, their character, their personality, their understanding will change for the better. This is the real Dhamma, not the knowledge based on, you let go lah, you shouldn't react lah, why you so stupid, from my mind only ma. You got all this knowledge, but you don't know what it is. Well, you cannot live it as a living reality. So your knowledge only let you use words that you copy from what you hear from people or the Dhamma book. But that one is as dead as a dead leaf. It's not the wisdom. That's why knowledge cannot free you. When you remember, then you got no use. You must listen, put to test, understand not? Then awaken to it. Then develop the stability of understanding. And that is wisdom, understanding. You can contemplate, you can reflect, you can inquire, stabilize your understanding. Then learn to apply the Dhamma through noble info path to resolve things amicably. Then accept first. So train yourself in this way, then you have more and more moment of peace. Less problem. Your mind now, no need to stir. Yeah, you can accept them for what they are. You can accept the world as the world. Condition like that, things will. So this type of wisdom will stabilize as you reflect more and more deeply into it. Then you will come to know one day. Yeah, last time deluded, so foolish. Argue, want to be right. Lost the argument, valuable song. Why? That is not life, understand? Life is having love, having contentment, having gratitude, having understanding, having joy. So now you can say, eat the meal with joy. Then after your meal, you can have this ability to look at the environment, the canteen environment, the condition around. Then everything like so beautiful. Not like when you are cluttered with problem and all, you don't even have time to look at yourself. You always react inside. You stir your mind, emotional ones, and then complain, the chattering. Why are people like that? Why am I so sweet? Why God like that? How come my karma is so bad? These are all delusion, heedlessness, the thought tell you. But when you are in the awareness, the creative nature, the awareness, see, understand, that your life, you decide how you want to live your life. To be happy, to be peaceful, to live It's so much better than to be in the heedless state where everything is like mess up, klangkabut, and all those things. Then like everything also rush, 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 rush. Very hectic, tired, or stressful, understand? And keep on complaining, 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 reacting, reacting, stirring. This is not life. It's just like Yanta, you look at him. Last time he's so busy and he's so unorganized, he got no time for a lot of things. You see him like he's very tired, run around, drive a human. Now, very organized. No, do things very fast, finish things very fast. Why? Because he listened and he adopted the good principle to change. And he has faith now. As I think go his way, when he live according to Dhamma, he got happiness, got joy, the family unit with the mother also improve, and his relationship with people also improve. Understand? Last time when he started, he cannot communicate what he want to do to people. He's like very kanchong. They are too busy. The brain like clutter. Everywhere he go, you can see him. Wow, like a lot of things to do. But now different. Despite so many people passing to him, he bring up here, he got no problem. So doing his duty is one thing, he understand. Then helping other is another thing. But he do with understanding and patience. That's how you look at him, very patient. Nowadays he calm, he more calm. He's not like last time, very kanchong on the sick. Then he can follow. Then when he had the gas problem, he went back to the room, he zoomed. Yeah, my doctor told me, hey, Dr. J is still around. I said, where? In the Zoom. Then later on, when he okay, he stay here. And sometime before the class start, he already sat here. So these are the cultivators who are with the faith, with the understanding, determined. Okay? Pass to Alicia. Alicia got something to add.
没有，Brother，我想借着门员这个，他刚才 react 这个来跟 Brother Joe 请法，就是在这个经行里面，他怎样去理解那个 citta 的 content？感恩阿弥陀佛。对，感恩，Because
when you understand the content of consciousness, it's like Sui, he came to know the danger of carrying all this evil root inside there. Understand? Negativity or emotion leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. These are not conducive for the holy line, for the good line. Why do we get ourselves entangled in that? That's why she said, when you see against knowledge of what it is, it's so different. Knowledge, you dare to break one, understand? You know how they break one when they misappropriate it. Especially a government servant, you say, well, Akong one, why worry? Akong one, you know, it's Akong one, the government. So, take a then sometimes they justify, they don't know one, why worry? Then sometimes you want to deceive people, this guy, I think he must teach him a lesson. So, you do all the nonsense. So, this is what your thought. Without understanding, will create all the justification for you, or what they say, through the back door, influence you, and make you dare to do, understand? You don't see the danger of breaking precept. You don't see the danger of committing all this negativity, although to you it's like minor, understand? Minor, understand? But things which are not you, you dare not take, understand? Where you know it belongs to somebody. It may be important to them or whatever. So even if you want to eat or drink or what, you should ask, is this allowable? Can you let me have some? At least you ask, understand? If you are not with the cultivator's mind, you just see, you take first. Then you know, even. Yours, I don't know. So justification again. I know it's yours, I won't touch. 把你加了，算了。So the behavior is totally different, 是吧？嗯，So thank you, Alicia, 啥的，嗯。OK, Maya, continue.
The awareness nature without delusion is the essence of mind. To prepare for this coming 2012 expected transformation of consciousness and great shift, we only need to be aware and stay at the heart. Have love and be loved, then everything will be all right. That is, heart-based awareness and no more thought-based living from the forehead. Then naturally, overnight you may transform if you do not arise any fear. The pure awareness state before the arising of thought has no center, which implies no being, hence anatta. Thought has the power to divide via words, concepts and ideas, etc., and creates the center, the I and the me, resulting in selfishness, anger, possessiveness, delusion, fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. This sakkaya ditti or self-delusion will condition us to believe that there is a thinker behind the thought, and that there is an observer and observed. The moment we awaken to the fact that it is only consciousness, and every sense door consciousness is naturally conditioned arising, then this delusion of self will automatically cease to be. Remember the analogy of the lighting up of the light bulb when the switch is switched on? The moment there is delusion, the egoic mind or mundane mind or thought will grasp and cling due to the 12 links, i.e. through ignorance, contact triggers off mental activities, which include perception, memory, sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, etc. Then contact, feeling, craving, grasping, becoming, and birth, leading to the whole mass of suffering. Just meeting awareness without thought, then everything will cease to be. Silence your mind and you will awaken to this truth. No thought means no center, no ego, no becoming, no fear, no selfishness, etc.
Okay, stop for a while. I have to explain. Is there a thinker behind the thought? Find out. Inquire. Use your awareness. Is there an observer and the observer? That one is by Krishnamurti. You know what is observer and observer. So this one is your eye. Eh? Your eyes see. What you see is what you observe. Understand? Yeah? What you see is what you observe. The eye that see, you think is the observer. Correct? Na?
Observe.
Huh? B-E-D. Oh, B-E-D. Yeah? True or not? Huh? Because you always say, I see. Understand? Who see? What see? You say this one is the personality that see. That's why I see. So the first one is I see. Then I ask you, who is this fellow? I. Yeah? Who is the I who see? Of course, when you understand, it's the brain activity. There is nobody to see. That's why the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. You understand? Huh? This one, the observe, is the consciousness. Understand? Huh? Before the content go in. But when the content go in, it becomes the thought. So, when you have this delusion, this observer become a personality, understand not? So this is what they call subjective seeing. Like a person see, understand not? Subjective seeing. The word is subject, a person, understand not? When we have awareness, there is no atta. So what type of seeing is it? Objective, isn't it? No subject, isn't it? Just see what it is, isn't it? Which is the seeing consciousness, understand? Not? So this one become objective seeing. seeing things as they are. So this one is also the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. Whereas this one is subjective seeing, means a person seeing. But we go into it to find out whether this one is true or this one is true. Okay? So I ask you, when you say I see, what see? Of course we can say the thought and honestly, but is that an entity? Is that a person to see? Because when you cannot answer, you try to become scientific. He said, my eye see lah, no eye cannot see ma. True or not? Logical or not? So my eye see. You agree or not?
Whatever the eye see, we store into the brain as memory.
Correct, that one is the process. But now we talk about normal people. Ordinary people. Logical, yeah, my eye see that. So how you counter him? Your eye see. Dead man got eye or not? Can he see?
No.
He cannot see. Yeah. So I alone don't see. Yeah, that's not enough. Then he said, oh, like that. Maybe no mind.
The mind.
He said, my mind see. Oh, he think logical again. More smart. Yeah. But the blind man also got mind. Yeah. Does he see? He also got mind, right? He's not dead, right? That's why I alone don't see. Mind alone don't see. What is seeing? The coming together of condition, understand? Right? When you have the eye that is functioning, when you have the mind, you have the contact, the consciousness arise. And that is true seeing, understand? Right? That's why the Buddha said, all your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, and your thought is dependent originating. Understand not? Condition arising. No condition, no seeing. Understand not? Is there a being there? Definitely no there. All these are dependent originating. Condition arising. How can you say it's subjective seeing? I see. Who the hell you are? Because all these are the conditions that arise for seeing to take place. That's why it's objective seeing. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, like the physics experiment light bulb, naturally light up. Means you become conscious. But there is no being inside there. No one to see. It's just that consciousness arises. Like the physics experiment, the light bulb, light up. It's like you become conscious, but there is nobody inside there. That's why in the seeing, there is only the seeing conscious, the consciousness only, no one to see. Understand? Because there are conditions for it to arise, like the battery in proper functioning manner, the bulb in proper functioning manner, then the switch is the contact. So the mind with the contact on the sense basis and the external sense data trigger off. Understand? Like the physics experiment. Then the consciousness arises. Then that seeing consciousness. So when you understand that, the observer and the observed is an illusion. Understand? Who see? It's just a dependent orienting process naturally arising. But when the brain coming with the wrong view, Sakkaya Ditti created the ego, then it says, I see. So, subjective seeing is the mundane mind that is deluded, having the Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion, you understand not? That's why Krishnamurti is very smart. He said, the observer is the observed. Means what? When these two become one entity, then it's exactly what the Buddha said then. The awareness that is aware of this is the same thing. So what is happening is the observer is the thought. You understand? Huh? The thought that observes what is in the content It's also the thought. That's why the observer is the observer. But when you have awareness, you realize that awareness, aware, finish. Understand? Now you understand? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Well, now I can go into this. Last time, I go into a little bit and I cannot talk too much. And now you can follow. So it's easier. So a lot of things you can understand through awareness. Without awareness, you cannot understand. But when I was in the state of awareness, I realized that awareness and the thing is one. Yes.
Me too.
For
when we saw this example, I think previous retreat, couldn't really process. And then now I actually saw more into it. So what I gather from this example now is that this thought thinking that they see something outside, actually this thing is also a thought. This is also a thought. So, for example, what I see, I think, is the object, yellow table cloth. If I'm colorblind, I see different color. So what my version of what I see, I think tablecloth is actually my thought of that tablecloth, that image, is actually not really the yellow color I see. To someone colorblind, it is actually another color. And what we think we see goes into here, and then we think at this moment, Suyi saw a yellow tablecloth. This whole thing is a combination of many, many thoughts made into this moment of reality that now Suyi is sitting here looking at a yellow tablecloth, but this whole thing can be false. Suyi, if I have dementia, Suyi is no longer Suyi already. I don't even know who I am, where I stay. Then who see the yellow tablecloth?
Yeah.
Yellow tablecloth also can become green tablecloth.
Because that Suyi, I just add on that Suyi is actually a phenomenon, also dependent on originating. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not a being. This is what sakkayaditti, self-delusion, is. When you cannot see through this, you believe you exist. You are real. And your entity, su-yi, see. Like you say, I see la. What's wrong? I see ma. In Hokkien, go see, you die. That's why when you don't understand the egoic mind that comes through sakkayaditti is from your brain, your memory, your conditioning. You are taught since birth, given a name, birth cert. Then 6 years old, before you go to school, they give you an IC. Then when you are born, they give you a name. So you identify yourself through the whole process until you reach university, come out to do the career life and continue to live life, you carry the entity. Then later on, from a child, you become a youth. From a youth, you become a mature person. Then after that, you grow old. They call you, like my wife said, apo ama, or apo uncle, uncle really. So all this is the process of society's version of you. Then who are you? The young boy, or the youth, or the mature guy, or the old guy? None of them are you, understand? These are all phenomena that arise following nature's condition. That's why it's on the nature to be born, to grow, to plateau off, means aging. After aging, in between, disease, sickness, then death. So these are nature's condition, like the Buddha said. This body of ours is of the nature to grow sick, be diseased, to grow old, decay, be diseased, and die. For it has not gone beyond. So when you look at all this process, then you realize, who are you? What are you? It's not a being inside there. It's just condition arising. The supporting condition is still there. Your consciousness is still there. Your physical body is still functioning like the physical experiment. Everything is still there. So there is condition for you to animate into a human being. But without awareness, without mindfulness, basically you cannot see, you cannot understand who you are, what you are. The Buddha never say everything is unreal and empty. Yeah? He said, all these phenomena, they are anatta, they are impermanent. There's a rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, anasana. Vedana anicchang, vedana anatta. So anatta is not just non-self, no? Because he said rupang, all rupang is anatta, no? Not only human body, no? External form, table. How can you say table non-self, anasana? There is no life inside that, you know, there is no consciousness. But he said it's anatta. Why? It's dependent on originating, not a permanent unchanging entity, it come and it go. The empty nature of existence, the anatta has a deeper meaning of empty nature, not only non-self. Non-self is limited understanding and application of anatta. So when you understand this, the Buddha, what he's telling you is, this physical body of yours, together with the consciousness, which you call the human being, is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's supported by causes and conditions, sustain itself. Like our seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, all dependent originating. There is no soul or being inside there responsible for seeing. Understand? Then you can say, I see, we have the soul see. Understand? The mind see. But like we all gone through, the blind man got mind, cannot see, yes. You need the organ.
Suddenly the bullock cart example came into mind. So in this, like the back to that analogy, Sui saw a tablecloth, yellow tablecloth. If I use the bullock cart analogy, the tablecloth I split up one layer down is made of maybe what 1,000 thread count. It's split into all one line of thread, one whole yarn of thread. So Sui saw a yellow tablecloth is no longer right, it's not reality. Then the thread, actually, you go further down, if you are a science student, made of atoms, a lot of air inside there with a lot of neutron, proton, all spinning around. So what is Sui seeing? Okay, this side, not so real already. Then Sui, the 32 parts, right, of the human body, if you split it all into hair, eye, nose, mouth, skin, bone, vein, artery, heart, everything right there. What exactly see? The eye and the brain only? Then what else? I mean, the whole thing is fall apart. Like my the energy we say, a human being is so fragile. Any body, organ, breakdown, temperature go above certain temperature, you no longer, you got fever already, and you no longer know what you're looking at. You see illusion. So this observer also not so real. Then if I want to go down into very detail, it becomes like the Sui, which is healthy at this point of time, that don't have dementia, see the yellow tablecloth that hasn't disintegrated into thread. So this whole thing is really, this particular moment for a while, only it is the truth for this split second. After that, it's obsolete information.
First time my wife put up. Good.
I have to say this is called this for my direction. It happens when I walking, just walking. No, not the lady, just normal lady life routine. It happens when I go out and then it happened like that. When you see space, like Brother Teo say, then it focus. And then you can see the paticca samuppada. It's inside, not outside. It's inside that. At first you just see. And then it clean, you know. Clean.
Identify.
Aggregate form and mind. They have the cleaning,
grasping
the
tendency,
the what you call it, function, grasping. So when it come up, then you swing already, then they see the thing first, no? And then the, I don't know what is that,
the perception coming.
And it go in to the memory, it's very, you know, go in memory. persist. They come out again.
Persist.
To come out with the discrimination.
Yeah.
First, yes. They come out from this, going to like or dislike. The two things come up, we have to choose. From there, I see all. It's like that. Just all. I nothing else. Just all. Only seeing, direct seeing. Only seeing consciousness. See as this is.
Yeah, before,
from there, I understand this body. This body, why it get from a mind? It's just tell you to see the function as a human being,
yeah.
How it function. And then it is just the, how you see. This one, you have the seeing consciousness, you understand direct seeing, then you understand the other five senses,
yeah.
Then the hearing, everything is function. You just now even, you will understand the rest.
Mm.
Then you see that it's non-self.
Yeah.
You are just a machine. There is no
human being.
No human being. There's no eyes. It's just the seeing consciousness. Very fast to come up. Then it's like, oh. Like that. So you have to practice your daily mindfulness. It can come anytime.
Yeah.
Even though it's just a small, I call it, 小屋.
Yeah.
Help you a lot. After that, I understand already.
And
you see everything appearing, disappearing. When you do your housework, appearing, disappearing,
Like no one is doing.
But it's not. That time I say I'm a robot, but robot with understanding.
Yeah.
Now this body is really like a vehicle, the tool. You just do your duty. But
like,
you have the understanding.
Mm-hmm. Like Po Cheng say the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Once your mind is sad.
This is the direction.
Once you are mindful, you are aware. You do things, household, everything very efficient. Understand? Like no one is doing just that thing move. Because it's all like with understanding, awareness. When you do with mindfulness, you become very efficient. Understand? You don't waste time. You don't stress yourself. That's why you're not tired. You just do. So what my wife share is very good. When you have the awareness, you can see everything is dependent originating, not what you think. We are a combination of these five aggregate within, at the thought level, at the physical level, the first two aspects, no different. And like the Buddha said, they are only elements, the physical body, physical form. Then like Sui said, the 32 part. But Sui one is going too deep into the technical and analysis, so no need to go so deep. What is important is to understand that these are all dependent originating, and the human being is a combination of all this together, your brain, your consciousness, your senses, your physical body, and the consciousness that is trapped inside. That's why when she has the mindfulness, she can have the direct behavior. She can see and observe with the objective seeing. There's no word, nothing yet. Then suddenly, when he starts to perceive that thing, he saw that thing goes to the memory first. The memory that come out, he straight away see the discrimination. But this is what your habitual tendency is, your conditioning is. They want to comment and all things. But what actually happened is Sankara Sanyam. Because when you shrink your spacious awareness to focus, means to observe something, then that thing at first, no name on it, it's just that thing as they are. Then he saw how the brain input the content through what? Through the views, opinion, and conditioning. The conditioning is the discriminative mind. In Mandarin, they call fen bie xin. It's like you will discriminate on. But initially, it's actually the perception. You can be at the moment of contact. stop there. But you must have very stable mindfulness and awareness and understanding. Then when you release it, that feeling arises. Yeah, the seven universes are there. Understand? That memory comes in. You want to label it. Then that thing perceive. Then when you perceive without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, it's always the wrong perception. That's why the content of consciousness straight away discriminatory. Light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, create duality and asana. Then the thought get attached. It grasps at the entity. He thinks it's real. He go and think, oh, this guy, why is he here? How come he look at me like that? All those activity, they will run. But when you have the Dhamma, you see, you understand, you move on. He's the way he is. You smile, you move on. Or you sadhu, you move on. Understand? So this is how the difference is. When you don't understand, you become egoic. Then the entity creates that wrong view. The ego will try to fight, try to argue, try to be right. You understand? That's how the misunderstanding happens. When you know there is no one to see, then what is going on? Form and mind against a form and mind. He know you, he know me. Understand now? Everything is dependent originating. In Mandarin, better, Yin Yan Fa. Understand now? Yin Yan Fa means what? Condition arising. And causes and condition are nature's condition, not a being, not somebody. Understand now? So without causes and condition, nothing arises. So whatever that arise based on causes and condition, how can it be you? Understand now? It's just like this table, this human being. It needs causes and conditions. You need the avijja, ignorance, the condition rebirth consciousness. Unless you are a bodhisattva with the love and compassion and your vow, you come. Understand? Then when you take birth conception, the rebirth consciousness that is inside slowly, slowly, slowly become like when the senses everything up inside. Then the paticca samuppada start to move, understand? But when the sperm and the ovum fertilize, at that time the consciousness hasn't gone in yet. That's why they always say for rebirth to take place, there must be a few of these conditions. First, there must be a being ready to take birth, understand? To receive that rebirth consciousness. That's why how you take birth, karma decide for you. For those who are ignorant one, it is based on your karmic activity and volition before you die and what you do and all those things. And because there are so many beings available in the universe, where you take birth depends on your own karmic conditioning and all those things. So when there is this matching condition, then it happens. But for the bodhisattva who choose to come, they have their pure wish, their vow, their understanding that can override things, understand? And can cause this condition to arise. So whatever that fall into that pure wish, they will arise. Like my parent, chosen to be my parent this life, it arises. That's why when I come, the timing is all there. After World War II, I was born in 54. World War I, World War II was 1940, 41. I think it ended in 42 on. Then by then I come, the education system all established, a lot of things recover already. Understand? But that time still during the 50s, I was very young. I hardly know anything. I got no thought until 6 years old. So the 60s are the year I grew up. I really grew up when I went to school. So during that time, everything is still very primitive. Electricity just came in. Well water just get replaced with tap water and all those things. Then after that, the infrastructure, the facility, the road, everything slowly, slowly come. Then during the 70s, it's still quite backward. Then when I graduated in 79, the first Malaysia plan, second Malaysia plan only started. That's how our North South Highway come about. And all these things evolved to what it is today. That's why I saw the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, before the technological boom, 80s, understand? That's why my daughter is Generation X, 80s, understand? Then the 91 is Generation Y, then the 2000 is a millennium kid. Oh. They're all different type of behavior, understand? The society has evolved to become like that. So if you were to look at all these things, then I understand how my nature developed this ability because of what my cultivation is. Then I can decide. I always like to come during transition period where I was in Form 5. Last time, Cambridge Senior Circuit or Senior Cambridge, SC. Last time, no MCE or no. After MCE is SPM. So SC first law. Then I study English law. FBS system one. Foot, pound, and second one. Then the metric system come. So caught in the transition again. Have to use metric. Because it started during that transition period. So at Form 5, Form 4, I remember that was the transition period. Then I saw the transition. Then after that, I go to university. Then 79, near to 80, I graduate. Well, that time, not long, I remember 85 or 86, 1985, I think. I bought the first lab tabletop computer for Sui and my son. No. Malaysia, the advent of computer was 1985 or 86, I remember. Well, that time I went down to Imbi Road. They assembled the thing for me, almost cost me 1,000. That time 1,000 is a lot of money. Yeah. But it's beautiful. That's how they are called the Generation X, the IT field. They like computer. Then from there, you look at the way China come out. The IT boom, the internet boom. Then now we have virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and a lot other things. As science and technology have progressed so fast, you look at the way China has become the city, the high-speed train, the infrastructure, and all, and the world has become so different. That's why I said, we are blessed, because these are the golden years. I saw the old and the new. I get to live all this decade of very beautiful existence. And I retired 47 years old, 1991. And I have financial freedom. I have financial capacity. I can do what I want. I can live life also. That's why before that, I already had my good life. Because after 1989, I already had my good life. Yeah. Then after I retire, even better still. Then my wife followed me 1 or 2 years later. She also got her retirement. Yeah. That's why later on I share with Sue. I said, you can retire early. Oh, 40 years old, retire. Lucky best. So my son, very ambitious, I don't know. Maybe 45 or what, I don't know. But both every time break my record. Last time I form fire, I got gold medal when I was there. I topped the school and all. They are form fire. Sue, first one, break my record. I got 7A, but she got 7A1. And 182. Then my son also straight A, 781. So both also shattered my record. Then when it comes to retirement, he also break my record. I 47, they all 40 counting already. But they all have the benefit of second generation kid. Simple line, he can make it. So understanding all this, a very useful part and parcel of understanding existence, understanding how, as a cultivator, as a great being, you have the capacity to choose to come. Come during what era, who are your parents, and all those things. Of course, children, I don't decide. It depends on their karma. Understand? But those that have affinity with us as parents, they have been before, and they are. That's why they come. And this is the era where they can learn a lot. And they both also IT one. They got this liking for the what they call millennium kid one. So because of their education and their past, they have the understanding and they like this type of civilization, understand? That's why everything they do, I have to ask them to teach me the handphone, say the computer, the programming, because this is new to me. So for me, I like transition. They like different things. Then when she come, she like Japanese one. Her room, her food, he go Japan alone, all things. It's strange. Then my son like Western food, like to travel to Japan, travel to Europe, and all things. He don't like China. We all like China. So everyone is different. Your path, your preference, what you actually have developed as understanding. That's why when you come, they also have their nature. The only thing is not fully connected and they haven't like received the inheritance. Then later on when they transform, they will know. My son also will have that thing, but later, he not now. He must wait till he see old age, sickness and death. Then only he wake up. After he successful already career, then only he interested in all. Otherwise, you talk to him, you're wasting time. He every time tells him, okay, you go lah, you go. He haven't followed me on any spiritual trail. But he followed me on the tour and all those things. The cruise and all those things. That one, he does join us, family trip, all those things. But spiritual, don't call him. He is not ready. Huh?
7 years become no week.
That one different lah. 7 years become Norvig before he really go to school. The chief rival at Brickfield Temple, that time different. He also follows the Katina 1989, 1990. You remember Belbert Farm, you and him. Then you go to Thailand, Kanchanaburi, Ajayan Trust, Sunya Taram. The two of them are there. All the Thai people, the devotee, all then Ajayan Trust in the mountain top there, delivering Dhamma. Before I even know where they are, the two of them run up. And my son, he got affinity with Ajayan Trust. Then Ajayan Trust saw him, oh boy, come! Then Sui was right now. Then he sat next to the monk, to Ajayan Trust. That time they were very young. That time you will know. They have this interest, the pyramid. Then I help them to make offering, katinaro, everything, donation, everything. That's why they have the paramiya. But as they grow up, my wife worries if they don't attend to Dhamma. I say, you don't worry. The time will come. Things will unfold and happen. The thing. And that's why later on, Sui, I think 2017, he start joining us on the spiritual trip. Then he attended the continuously 3-4 retreat. I mean, that's how she has the understanding and starts to be interested in all this. She starts to connect back. Before that, like she said, life is so good and still young, so much thing to explore. That's why she's very adventurous. She go on the mountain. She goes scuba diving. And she likes to do all this. Yeah, she told me, which is true. Before 40, I must do. Yeah, after that, how to do? Understand? So I say, good, so live your life. So the old second generation kid, more blessed. Then she told me, luckily I retired. You are now so free, the mind. Otherwise, that top management post, I think AGM onward, very stressful. You got no time for your life. You have to commit. Yeah, good pay in Singapore, Sing dollar. But why do you need so much wealth and money? Simple life, enough to not to worry about life. not to worry about money. Enough, because like she said, the house, the car, everything is available. And to buy the car on her own, she can afford. And she has saving. Then she has the investment. Then she already learning all this. She will be more than enough for her. Then what I can leave behind together with my wife is more than enough for them to see true life and go true life. So when you understand all this, you can let them have the choice to make that decision to retire. Because initially I told them, the career life is important because you have to understand life. You have to go into the career field to understand what is going on in the society. And also, that's why during that time, she also went through the whole thing. And she quite lucky also, promoted, because the last job also client. I said, through my experience, the best is to work for the client. Work for the client, stress much less. Then most of the time can come back after 5 years. No need to work until so late. Last time, no day, no night. Understand? So these are the things. Once you have the understanding, you can make a very good choice decision. Then your nature will know, because that is what has been planned and conditioned. And you will continue to manifest and behave following what your nature in the past was. Understand? Your preference, your understanding, your talent and all those things. So they will come with all these things. So everyone is different. Even my 2 children, I saw different. My wife also different. My wife very good. She do her duty very well. I tell you, that duty, right duty, don't underestimate right duty. Right duty can bring about a lot of wholesomeness. You will meet up with the right people and all those things. So this is some sharing. Hopefully, we all can develop the understanding deeper. So we have finished, observer and the observed. Objective seeing, subjective seeing. So now, through this understanding, you will know the form and mind is not what you think. Yeah, these are chemically conditional, sustained by the 3 conditions inside. A physical body, the rebirth consciousness that is trapped inside until now, that evolved until with the views, opinion, and condition of. This one is the consciousness, the complexity of the consciousness that grew up with whatever belief system conditioning. But if you are cultivated with the awareness, with the wisdom connected, you are there. Otherwise, you don't have the wisdom. Then, gong gong, everything follow karma. That's why I said 99.999% is karmically driven. That is what the world is. So when you understand all this, then you realize, hey, there is nobody inside there. All of the senses together with the condition that animate you into a human being, that give you the ability to be conscious of whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you touch, you feel and think, are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They are not real. That's why the 5 aggregate of form and mind is empty, not you. So tomorrow onward, when we go through the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, then you understand deeper why it is anatta. Because the Buddha has his explanation that I added in the one that I came to realize in my past. That's why this life I have this understanding. So I straight away knew. The 5 aggregate very easy. Physical body without consciousness, 4 elements, 32 parts. Cannot be me, understand? This one goes the way of nature, very easy. Then external form also not real, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. How I see it, I perceive it through an image, which is consciousness. Even more unreal, understand? Then form, clear. Then feeling, perception, very easy. Feeling arise and pass away, I didn't die. I straight away knew, feeling cannot be me. Perception arise and pass away, I didn't die. How can it be me? Then all the thinking, sankhara activity, mental state, emotional, they come and go. I didn't die. So how can they be me? Even without doing the 3rd and 4th way, I already know they are not me. But how to live it? To live it, you must verify it through the awareness. That's why when the emotion arises, you must stay with it in awareness and saw it dissolving. You must see it dissolving. Dissolving means dissipate until no more. Because when you don't give it any more diluted energy, wrong thought, thought energy, where you just aware without thought, stay with it. Then that emotion which is either anger or hatred or fear or anxiety or phobia disappear. Then once it disappears, you experience the coolness, the tranquility, no more agitation, no more of those fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and no more of all those anger, hatred, strong emotion. Then you realize this is beautiful. Then suddenly inside, this is your true mind. This is what you are all the time. But through delusion, ignorance, you created all this entanglement, like my wife said, you start to grasp. Everything you perceive, you start to cling. And so, whether related to you or not related to you, you like or don't like that person, then the discriminative mind will come up. Then every feeling you stir your mind, you react. Because from feeling, it becomes craving. Craving becomes grasping. Then the dependent origination. Then perception of the same. Everyone you perceive, you create that illusion. Then your thinking is the same. Who created that thinking? Nobody. Is there a thinker behind the thought? Of course, the human being is very logical. I think, sure lah, got thought lah. I'm the thinker. If I don't think, where got thought? I want to think of that person, I can think. Actually, is that thinking? You recall through memory, understand or not? The awareness, which is the energy, goes to the brain there, where your attention is here. Then the brain through memory recall, understand? They created the thinking, understand? Yeah, you created the condition, understand? You go to the brain where you saw that thing, you perceive, then you identify, then you go to the brain. Then you retrieve all the old story, the grandmother story, understand? Then you can think of that person. Yeah, last time my schoolmate, my primary school teacher, or whatever. Then like we all, Kayamita, before we know each other, I see you on the street also, you don't know me, I don't know you, we don't acknowledge. But now I see Chin Hao, hey Chin Hao, understand? So this is what cognition is all about, perception is all about. So they identify through what? Memory. There is no thinker behind the thought, understand? Thought is response to that memory. If I have no memory of who you are, relationship with you, I cannot name you as Jin Hao, understand? You understand? People whom I don't know the name, how can I name him? Understand? I know there is such a form, understand? Dress like that, this type of hairstyle. What? But if I don't know that person, I got no memory of that person, that memory cannot create thought, understand? Like the baby, no thought on the moment they are born. So all of these are being conditioned through the education, through the what they call society's way of evolving. That's why the kid nowadays, yeah. Why I say 90% is all thought based. Very young already, tablet, handphone, because if you don't give them, they cannot keep quiet. So they run around like create hell for you. So the mother, very smart, bye. Yeah. Now they go to dinner also, they look at that. They go and have lunch also, they look at that. Sometimes they don't want to come down, they keep themselves in their room, they communicate with their friend and all that. Then they look at the what the kid like to play on those games, watch all those things, Japanese cartoon or what I don't know. So all this is what society's evolution is all about. So during the IT age, like now, the emphasis on technology is so intense. That's why the kids are cluttered with what? All the information and the data. Before they go to school, they already, like Yun Chan Kena from the grandchildren. The new handphone, she don't know how to open. She look for the switch, like we all old school. Where is the switch? Last time Nokia, you have to look for the switch. Then the grandchildren say, Ma, Grandma, I said, Grandma's light. slight. Then only she know. Oh, so nowadays kids are different. Then they learn very fast. They are very much more knowledgeable. Sometimes they can communicate so well, they can think to you with the parents. Very young. No need to wait till form one. So all these are the realities of life and existence. Okay? So we finish, right? Yeah. Otherwise we waste too much time. Then we continue a bit. Understand how you get yourself entangled with life. We are not understanding the Four Noble Truths. This is not very true. Yeah. Those without Dhamma, they are like that. The First Noble Truth or Dukkha explain clearly the realities of life and existence and the final summary of what is Dukkha, the five aggregates of grasping Dukkha. Second Noble Truth explain the cause of suffering, which is craving, conditioned by one's delusion and ignorance. Third Noble Truth, suffering may not be an enlightenment in the here and the now. Nibbana can be realized. Fourth Noble Truth, there is this four noble eightfold path. If you cultivate them, it leads to enlightenment and the cessation of all suffering. The beauty of the Noble Truth as a summary of life or understanding life, understanding the secret of life. Question 1. Ratio, can you explain again what you meant by the Buddha was able to summarize all of life, both mundane and supramundane, into just four simple but very beautiful noble truths, which is the essence of his teaching? And can you also explain which part is mundane and which part is supramundane? So this is a very good question. As stated above, the First Noble Truth or suffering or dukkha clearly explain all the eight realities of life and existence that cover all aspects of our mundane living and life experiences, ranging from birth, old age, sickness and death, to separation from loved ones and prized possession, and to be with people whom we don't like, and not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go our way, or follow our expectation. And the final summary of attachment to the five areas of forming mind, upadana khandas, as the cause of suffering. The Buddha also cautioned living beings that if they do not develop the wisdom needed to free their mind before confronting this First Noble Truth, their life's reality, then they will definitely be afflicted by it, and suffering will be the end result. Then the Buddha proclaimed the Second Noble Truth that explained clearly the cause behind all suffering, so that living beings can develop the understanding not to be gullible anymore, after understanding what suffering is and their cause behind, they will know how to manage their life better so that they need not have to suffer unnecessarily anymore. Okay, we get Wen Yang to read the rest. Page 144, second paragraph.
Then the Buddha proceeded to explain under the Third Noble Truth that suffering need not be if one has the Dhamma. And there is such a noble truth that talks about the possibility of realizing Nibbana or the enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering. This enlightenment or Nibbana is the supra-mundane realization. Then the Buddha explained how this enlightenment can be realized while proclaiming the fourth noble truth that states, there is a path leading to the cessation of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path of right view, right thought, right communication of speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Once this Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated, it can lead to the supra-mundane way of living the noble life of the noble or enlightened ones following the Noble Eightfold Path. The entire eight path factors within the Noble Eightfold Path, they are all so noble and relevant to life, and they cover all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspects. In order to live life, we must have the understanding of what is life. And to understand life, we must have the first path factor of right understanding or right view with regards to the nature's law that govern all of life and existence, especially the three great spiritual laws of karma niyama, citta niyama, and dharma niyama. Then to live life, we have to use thoughts. We have to communicate via speech, email, etc. And we also need to act and work to live life. Hence the importance of having the second to fifth power factors of right thoughts, right speech, communication, right actions, right living cultivated. Then we will need the four right efforts power factor to purify our actions, speech, and thoughts, followed by right mindfulness to be heedful, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And finally, the last power factor of right samadhi, to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom to become enlightened. This is also the reason why the Buddha gave the analogy of a handful of leaves and Kosambi to the monks to impress upon them the importance of understanding the Four Noble Truths, which is so essential to live the holy life. These Four Noble Truths and its three turnings are also the Buddha's first teaching or his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which he expounded immediately after his enlightenment. The Dharma cultivation is more or less a full-time job, i.e. throughout your work waking hours, accumulating into 24 hours heedfulness cultivation. That is, we need to confine our cultivation fully on the Dharma when undergoing the training, which consists of hearing, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths and heedful direct stream into phenomenon via our daily mindfulness in life itself. But full-time job here doesn't mean that one must retire or give up one's job or career. One can cultivate even in the midst of working and living life via the daily mindfulness and this type of heedfulness training. I always advise devotees or Kalayana Mitas as follows. If you have to work for survival, then work. If you need to work because too much free time and don't know how to retire, then work. If you really have the wisdom and you don't have to or need to work, then retire or semi-retire to do the things that you love or like to do.
So this one true or not? Yeah? Very true, yeah. Have to work for survival. Then you work, huh? Understand? Huh? Then some got money already, you know, financially. But they need to work, you know. Because otherwise they don't know how to spend their time. So they say, because too much free time and don't know how to retire. Then you work, huh? I say, there are people ask me why I retire so early. I say, simple life, understand? Huh? Then when you have simple life, yeah, you will know how to stop. Then I say, after I retire, there are a lot of things that I can do. And one of my classmates asked me, you are much, much later. Hey, he said, look, Anacha retire, 47. He near 60 already, about to retire. Then he realized, he take leave first, before he retired. He realized when he was not working, he was very boring. There are no phone call, no secretary, no meeting, everything. He go for traveling and all this. Then he come back. He boring like that. He call me up. Hey, do, what you do? I say, this type of question also you ask me. I say, I do what I want to do in life. Then what you do? I say, what I do, you don't do. I say, teach people meditation. Teach people Dhamma. He looked at me. He called me Gyamana, his song. Then I said, you travel lah. Travel put a sian me lah. You understand? Because too much traveling, he also don't like everything. Then I say, you do what you like to do lah. You like to read book, you read lah. Like to see movie, you see lah. Or you like to catch up with your friend. Go la. Or you want to look for a girlfriend, also go. Then he looked at me. He said, "Ayo, cannot retire." But finally, he made the decision to retire. Then finally, I think after a while, he became okay. I said, "You got your family." Then I explained to him the 3 period of life. Average age 75. Let's say. First phase is 25. First 25, what you do? For me, I study, I graduate. At the age of 24, I graduate. Then come out, work. The second 25, you retire age 50. So you work. I said, the last 25, 51 to 75, not sure, no. Not guaranteed, no. You may not live that long, no. Understand? No. So I asked myself, what is life? Do I want to work until second phase over 50, continue work, then third phase also work? Then when do you want to live life? When you're 60, 70? I say I retire 40 years, I simple life, I can afford. Then I am very contented as I am still healthy. Average life 75, means I still got almost 20 over years to live, no? Understand? So at least 23 or 24 years to live. Above 75, of course, is bonus. Nah. Then I can spend time in my family during this time and do what I want to do. And I promise my wife, you wait till when money is not a problem, then we travel. Understand? You travel without having to budget here, budget there, stingy. Actually, I also kia, yeah? Foreign country, currency. Ours very small, they are very big. You go Europe, you go US. So why you want to worry about all this and travel? You want to travel, you travel in peace, in style, with understanding. And how much can we spend? Even one trip is not much. That's why later on, when there is condition, when my son graduated, I remember, then that one is MBA, not graduate as an undergraduate. That one is MBA. Then, because he went to INSEAD, the convocation was in Paris, near Paris, Fontainebleau. Then he said, "Daddy, want to go on?" "Sure," I said, "I haven't been to Europe." So I go. Then our whole family go. So he also go, my wife. We all buy business class. Go. Then after that, wow, really, that trip was really beautiful. You ask me. We, Paris, after that, we take the train, the Eurorail, go to London. Then London, we also spend our time to see all those things. But Sui got a classmate then. He went and meet up with her. Then she wanted to go back earlier. Then she ran off, I think, a few days earlier than us. She went to the airport. She was very surprised. They upgrade her from business to first class. First time she sit on a first class ticket. This is life, understand? And that time it was before 40, still young that time. So that was the year 2017.
I remember,
1718. 1718, yeah, must be around there. So that is life, understand? You can afford, why not? Then I renovate my house. Then I said, since I can afford, you tell me what type of room you want. That's why she designed the Japanese style one, the room all Japanese. Then my son got his own. Because I said, what I can do for the family is, I give you a very comfortable house. We had to stay there most of the time. We use it. So I bought my neighbor, I extended it. Then I let them decide what type of house. So we actually did it out very well. And because of that, I said, this is money was spent, understand? For our own use. And it is not for short term, understand? Yeah, most of the time, we will be in the house. Then my wife also happy. The kitchen, everything, she designed herself. She get the contractor. Yeah? Of course, together we do it. Then she very good at supervising. The contractor makes some mistake, he know, he call me. Then I come back. I resolve it and handle. Then later on, Stephanie, oh, gone already, Stephanie. Stephanie also bought a house. He good karma, he got it very cheap. I helped him. Then I helped him to get a contractor. Also, we helped him to do up the house. And she was so happy. Yes, she almost 50 plus already at the time, still haven't owned the house. Then finally she got. So this is something you can do when you are about to retire, understand? Or when you retire, you do what you like to do. Then some people tell me they like gardening. Then go and do gardening. Then you got grandchildren, and go and look after your grandchildren. But don't commit yourself until you have to worry about your children. Now you worry about your grandchildren. But the individual has to decide what type of life you want. So for us, who seek Dhamma understanding, to understand life, to understand truth, I think this is the most noble way of spending your retirement time. Right now, quite a number has also retired. Recently, Song, Po Lian, then Yun Chan long ago, retired. Then Pama Suri also quite long, Amy also quite long. Now only Man Yuan work, Jin Hao work. Oh, Kok Lun, of course. Elsie, okay. Okay. So that is what life is. You need to work, you work, understand? But don't have to work, have to go on pitiful. Means you don't know how to spend your retirement life, okay? Yeah, retire. If you already have the wisdom and you don't have to or need to work, then retire or semi-retire to do the thing that you love to do. That is most important. Asana. So that will give you the answer how to spend your retirement life. In fact, your retirement life is the most beautiful you know how to spend. At that time, you don't have to be like 30 already. You go restaurant also, you can give tips already. And they're very happy. Uncle, uncle, thank you. So all this, then you get to experience what you like. The nice food, the beautiful, nice hotel. Go, understand? Once a while, go and stay. Like my daughter booked for me that, what hotel is it?
Four Seasons.
My birthday, my wife, we go there. Dinner, whole family come. My son also come. My daughter also come. Crystal, also. Oh, your birthday. Oh, sorry, sorry. Sue's birthday. Sue, glad.
216.
216, the tour to Paris. 216. Well, Eiffel Tower, mommy. Yeah, Eiffel Tower, Paris. So a lot of interesting things. Yeah, this is just to let you understand how you can retire in style. Yes, to do the thing you love to do. Then that time you also have the Dhamma is the best. Understand? Then life is really like what the Buddha said, Pativeda, phase three of your holy life. You get to live the life of a noble one, enlightened one. That is the best phase of your life. With Dhamma understanding, you lead. You didn't listen properly. When you have the Dhamma already, that one is supra mundane life, understand? When you understand the Dhamma already, then existence become wonderful, understand? That Pati Veda is you reap the fruit of your hard work, you understand? You don't need to work. But you can live life. And what our life? No more suffering, understand? Noble life of an enlightened being. That is the most beautiful. Yeah,
Amitabha. Actually, when I thought about the retirement, the topic about whether money is enough or not, actually, it was a bit of a concern. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I thought about karma. Mm-hmm. And then if really not enough money, then have to work.
70 years old have to come out to work, also have to work. But if karma is that way, no matter how much money I have, 70 I need to work means I have to work. So I was thinking along those lines, then might as well retire now. Then if need to, I face my karma payback then. So that was one of the considerations I had, just sharing.
But actually, I also hinted to her, I said, no problem. You don't have to worry about money. You know what I leave behind and her investment, everything is much more than enough. Even the property or those things, they don't sell, also no problem. So when there is this understanding, then there is convenience. Yeah, her style, her character is very good, simple line. She's not ambitious. She doesn't want to dress all the what they call Ming-pai everything. But people give it to her. And she received. So a lot of these things, you look at her, very simple. Not the one, the auntie, who like to, gold here, diamond here, also shining, shiny. Then all the lifestyle thing. She very simple. She go shopping also, sometimes ask my wife to help choose the clothing. Yeah, my wife know how to look at certain suitable clothing. So for her, she very simple. So you look at the way your past is from what you are now. This one very important. Xuanhua used to say, if you want to know your past, you look at what you are now. Correct? You are born with your karma, into your karma conditions, but you are what you are become. If you are miserable, means in the past you do a lot of nonsense. This is payback time. If you want to know the future, you look at what you are doing now. So, you're heedless. Throughout the day, also do all the funny things. You reap what you sow. Then you know your future is also kaulatha. Understand? So law of karma is very simple. When I understand, in the past, I don't have this understanding. This life has the condition. I will go all out and develop this understanding. That's why the Bodhisattva vow. So that in future, when I come, everything taken care of. My life, my future, all taken care of. Okay, continue.
Learn to live life and not to worry about life.
Very important.
To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative to realize the Dharma as taught by the Buddha. The most important meditation training is the cultivation of daily mindfulness while following this instruction. We choose aware of our every bodily and mental action and movement within the present moment.
Very good. Okay. I received from Sui some beautiful comment from Kayanita, Yohon. I share with you. So John's reply is a sadhu relative awesome analogy that allow more clarity about the observer and the observer. Just now's analogy. Now when I chant the Dhamma Cakkappavattana with this understanding and much clarity, the condition arising nature of the five aggregate of form and mind is like quantum sparklight. As we go along the way of life and the cultivation, the superb quantum leap of ups and downs, coming and going of all mental activity, I truly rejoice with this segment of your Dhamma sharing. Pureness and clarity. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She also says sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Joyce, Joyce Lim. Okay, continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 26. Feeling, Cognition, Formation, and Consciousness. Page 71 to 73. 2.1 Definitions. Mental formation. Sankara or activities of mind, everything that the mind can do. Impermanence, a universal characteristic prevalence in all phenomena. See clearly how phenomenon comes and how it goes, how they arises and passes away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the me. Our fundamental nature is the oneness or Buddha nature. 2.2. Saying by most venerable master Guan Qing Lao He Sang.
Guan Qing Lao He Sang.
Guan Qing Lao He Sang.
过去心不可得, this one I read, your Mandarin is no good. 过去心不可得, the mind of the past cannot be grasped onto, because it's already gone, so not a reality. 未来心不可得, the mind of the future also cannot be grasped onto, because it has not yet come, also not a reality. 现在心也不可得, the mind of the moment is all. Is the only reality and highest in life. But to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment. That's like the present moment also you cannot hold on to, because split second is dead and gone, understand? Then there is one more part to add. Cannot be transcend. We have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought. Hence the reason why the mind or the present moment also you cannot grasp onto. It is so transient and unstable. Split second is dead and gone. And that is the highest in life, no? That is the only reality in life, no? So understand that. Moment to moment life passes by, that is the only reality. And yet, it's so transient. You know what is the meaning of the word transient? No? Disappear very fast, understand? We all study electrical engineering, the transient current very fast and disappear. So transient means very fast disappear. Okay, you continue.
No, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? Are you truly living life, or are you too busy thinking, planning, or worrying about life? So much so you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness, within to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauty of life, is to truly live life. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. The difference between contemplation and thinking. Question 1. What is the difference between contemplation and thinking? Brother Dio answered, to contemplate on the Dharma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of the truth that he has given under his first learning of the Four Noble Truths. This contemplative wisdom called Cittamayapanya is part of the second learnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind with the spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, and Samadhi in its creative state to inquire and reflect deep into its second learning's hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with the creative mind in Sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking, to bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first learning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician or a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time. And that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you, or read about it. Listen with attentiveness and calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with that calm mind with very little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiry and contemplation, and its purpose is to stabilize what one has understands. Note, assimilating the Dharma is analogous to assimilating the food, i.e. by assimilating or absorbing the nutrients after eating the food.
Okay, very good. Now we almost 11:45. Eh? We had to break off. So we stop here. Eh? We stop here. Do you have any question? Or anything to add on today's sharing? 4 more minutes. Anybody? So far, the discussion topic idea are very relevant to life, to understanding. You got nothing. So we break early on. Okay, sound good. We cover quite fast. So page 148 already. Total 200 over page. Oh, I thought 100 something only. Not that far. Oh, yeah, 3 more minutes. Read a bit more. Chapter 29.
29.
Heart lesson.
Heart sutra class and meditation class.
Straight away go to short notes.
Short notes from Surangama Sutra. There were no short notes for last week's Heart Sutra class, so we will use the short notes of the last Tuesday's Surangama Sutra class. The Surangama Sutra is important because without it, the Maras will create havoc. According to Master Suen Hua, this sutra will be the first sutra to disappear during the Dharma ending age. If this sutra is around, the Maras will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. This sutra explains clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi or wushiyimo.
Wushiyimo. Wushiyimo, the 50 deviant samadhi. 50 wushiyimo.
Sure.
Wushiyimo. A yimo that can trap the cultivators if they deliberately corrupt into any of them. The Surangama Sutra also explains how the living beings come into this world of existence via the 4 stages of manifestation originating from the source. These 4 stages of manifestations are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. From the source comes the truth mind in the pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of the basic ignorance caused since time without beginning, by the first thought which screened the true mind, became subjected to birth and death. Thus, both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into Alaya Vijnana, or
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Consciousness. This is the Sanskrit version. The Pali is Vijnana.
Or store consciousness, the root of samsara. This Alaya consciousness has 3 characteristics. The karmic one, which is basic ignorance, resulting from self-evidencing, a changing or condition arising one, which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception, the root of first 7 consciousness, and its expression in appearances or forms. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual bright and nirvanic absolute void was changed into dull and deluded emptiness. Hence, Manjushri said, thus in delusion, there appeared one-sided emptiness. Within this dual, dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallized and turned into illusionary form made of the 4 elements, resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perceptions confronted form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed, and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form united and grasped at this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the 5 aggregates of form and mind. Hence, Manjushri continued, steadying itself, the thinking process made the continence and the illusionary knower became the living being. Then, via delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, 5 mental aggregates of form and mind come to be while karmic conditioning, and this was then grasped at. Hence, the self-delusion of Sakayatiti. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising 5 aggregates of form and mind as the ego, as the I and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the steering? Then comes the external phenomenal world, or the world of form and or consciousness, created by the mundane mind, via its condition arising thoughts and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom
To understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomena world back to consciousness within the mundane mind, then silence and still the mundane mind to connect back to our true mind before returning to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind. 1.2. A condition arising phenomena world of consciousness. Everything you come to know and perceive is manifested through mind. Mind made are they, a condition arising phenomena world of consciousness. Before mind arises, there was nothing, so everything comes about after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? Just a mental image, isn't it? Constantly arising and passing away from moment to moment, hence its impermanence and empty or anatta's nature. If you can't understand all this wisdom, then you will grasp and cling in onto all these mental manifestation very strongly, thinking that they are real. This is a delusion and it can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation, and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to be free and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from it. It is this true mind in pure awareness that can see things as they are, to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and cease to be leading to the realization of Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also will cease, and it cannot be talked about because it is the unconditioned and beyond the form and mind. The Mahayana Sikh consciousness is the Theravada Sanya aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or cognition. It also includes the conception and discerning aspects of the mundane mind, but the key meaning is perception and cognition. The first five types of consciousness are seeing, hearing, smelling, tactile, and last, and tasting consciousness. And the sixth, seventh, and eighth consciousness of the Mahayana are within the mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with respective sense organ and data. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is conditioned arising, i.e. not a permanent unchanging entity. It has no nature of its own, whereas Nirvana is totally different because it is unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading the upstream to the realization of the oneness nature, the Buddha nature. Mundane mind is the deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmic related. Sankara and Sanya are very active within it. It constantly clings and grasps onto sense data, whereas the true mind is the silent, heedful mind, pure and clear, profound, bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thoughts, and it can also see things as they are. The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. It is the essence of mind, the unconditioned mind.
Okay, we stop here. Thank you so much.